Welcome to truly another episode of We the People Radio. We've been swiveling microphones around now for like 2 minutes frantically. So hopefully you will be able to hear both of us and everything will go according to Hoyle. The coughing and the wheezing and the... I've got the Marge Simpson voice. I don't know which one Bill's going to use today, but you know, that's just free. We're just talking about coronavirus, and
yeah, we're gonna demonstrate what happens when you get the coronavirus.
So anyway, we both turned up sick this week, but the truly frightening part is when you go out in public and then whatever you do, don't cough. They'll fall on you like a pack of dogs. They all start screaming, "Get away!" and they start running. It's like,
"Get back! Get back!"
I did have a guy do that. That was like, I was 10 feet from him and I was outside. I told him it was pretty unlikely he was going to catch asthma from me, but you know, anyway, after 58 years, that'd be quite a feat. So. The Marge Simpson voice will be played by Aaron Ryan.
And I'm Bill Cundiff.
And you don't have a cartoon character today?
No, I don't think so. I think I'm going to stick with my alter voice.
You're going to be Nasal Billy?
Yeah, I'm going to be Nasal Bill. Yeah, so our sponsor this hour is Pape Machinery. They're our local John Deere Ag and Turf dealer. Pape carries everything John Deere and everything Honda. And steel. So go by and see them. Generator season is coming. Yes, we do have a generator season in California. And it's right around the corner.
Right after the toilet paper season, which
that's
is
right.
Now.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up because that I understand they're giving away a free roll of toilet paper with every tractor quote. So go by. Whoop, wait, this just in. They're out of toilet paper. Okay, so never mind on that. But go by and see them. They're at 3119 Twin View Boulevard in Shasta Lake City. Or you can get them on the phone at 226-9226 or on the web at papemachinery.com.
There you go.
There you are.
So before we get a whole ton of hate mail, let's face it, you know, some of this is, I mean, there is some cause for humor. And I guess if we have no cause for humor, well, what's the point, really? So we have two guests for you today. And we're going to chat about the coronavirus. We've got two microbiologists. So yet again, Bill and I will be speaking less. So if you're thinking about changing the channel, because, you know, it's us.
I really thought it was my big break.
your big moment in science.
And then I got sick. So,
In the science spotlight? Yeah. Not coming.
Yeah.
It's not coming for me either. No science spotlight here. I'm trying desperately to get to the... Here we go. Our first guest this show, which is airing, I should tell you, let's see, March 15th is when this... 2020 is when this is airing live. You can also catch up with us on the web at wethepeopleradio.us, and we're airing in the Reading area on Channel 23 on the American Uncensored News Network. So, our guest is Dr. Sean Lynn.
Is that the only one that would take you? Was the Uncensored?
The Uncensored News Network, AUN. Okay. Yep, yeah. That's who's doing it. Okay, yeah, back to the job here, Bill.
Oh, did I distract
back to the
you?
Back to the project at hand.
Yes,
I looked away.
I succeeded.
I looked away. Look away. Let's see. Okay, so he's got his bachelor's in biology and a master's in... from Syracuse, and then a PhD in microbiology from the University of Alabama at Birmingham. He's also a U.S. Army veteran. Thank you for your service, Dr. Lynn. Served for 9 years.
Thank you.
Initially as an enlisted soldier and then as an officer in the Medical Service Corps as a microbiologist. Of note, and I'm sure we will do probably like a whole show on this sometime, but he is a survivor at Tiananmen Square, the massacre in 1989. He's also a Falun Gong practitioner engaging in human rights campaigns for the past 20 years and urging the Chinese Communist regime to stop the persecution of the Falun Gong. And if that is a new idea for you, please go to our website at wethepeopleradio.us. I want you to click on the China tab and mostly pick any show we have up there. We have been airing shows on China since November of 2018. There is a lot to learn, and there is much that we don't know all around the world. And I guess I should say welcome to our friends in Singapore, because over the past month, I think half of our listenership has been in Singapore, so that's been kind of interesting. So let's see, you're also a member of the Coalition to Advance Religious Freedom in China and a member of the Committee of Present Danger.
Yes. Can you hear me clearly?
We can. Sounds like you kind of have your hands full. Got a lot going on.
Okay, yeah. Yes. Thank you for the very nice introduction. Really, my pleasure to join the program this afternoon. And, yeah, so... Yeah, with the coronavirus, there's so much to talk about. Just wondering, where should we start?
Yeah, well, that's the thing. I guess, you know, we always hear the same thing. You know what? I know a good place to start. I think it was last week mostly. It could have been the week before. China decided to blame it on the U.S. Army. So, since you're a U.S. Army veteran, maybe we start there. What's the likelihood that the Army took the coronavirus to Wuhan and, you know, left it there in a parcel someplace?
Yes, to me, that was a ridiculous claim from the Chinese government.
Yeah.
Of course, one of the excuses they mentioned that in Wuhan they held this world like a sport competition for the military personnel. Of course, U.S. has a delegation to join this competition. But there are so many other countries in this competition, too. So, I mean, the Chinese government can blame any other countries, too.
Oh, but they picked us. Well, they tried the CIA first, and then they moved on to the Army. So, I guess...
Yes, because it happened to be in Wuhan.
Yeah, I guess they'll just keep trying, you know, different, you know... different things until they find something that works, when in reality it's just China. I mean, just goes back to them every time, kind of obvious.
Yes, I think part of the big scheme that the Chinese government been playing, try to blame the outside for the origin of the viruses. But I think one of the core issues is actually in Wuhan. The question still hasn't been answered. What will be the origin of the virus from Wuhan, and also what's the animal reservoir for the virus, and who is the patient zero? All of these fundamental questions has not been answered by the Wuhan authorities or even the Beijing government. So I think even the WHO's special mission team went into China last month. They didn't find any. And they didn't have any opportunity, let's say. They didn't have any opportunity or chance to even investigate these core questions. So I think that even that kind of joint mission with Chinese government was basically a cover-up by the Chinese government. So I think that one of the core issues, if we talk about the origin of virus, is still the potential lead leak, you know, from Wuhan. I still believe that's a very high possibility. Even though, you know, if we talk about lead engineer, if we just, you know, say maybe even higher opportunity is a lead leak product from Wuhan. Because I remember there was an article by two scientists in China. One is in Wuhan in Huazhong Science and Technology University. One is from Guangdong Province. So they published article actually identify a lab that's run by Wuhan CDC, Center for Disease Control and Prevention. And they said this lab is only about several hundred meters away from the Huanan supermarket. And this lab actually do animal studies. They collected a lot of the bats, several hundreds of bats from different regions in China. And the collector, one of the collectors, was actually reported by Chinese media saying that he was actually attacked by the bats for multiple times. And he himself had to quarantine himself for two times at least, because the bat scratched him, and spot on him urines, and so he had to quarantine himself at least two times.
And this was a worker in the lab?
Yeah, this is a worker in the lab.
Okay.
And also there was a problem with the lab setting animals, you know, staffs to, after the experiment, they set in the animals to public local markets. And then in Beijing, there was one scientist in, I forgot which lab, but he was actually sentenced to 10 years because he earned money by selling these kind of lab animals. So definitely the lab management is a big issue in China.
Well, I think that, I don't know, it seems like most people are pretty, pretty clear that the virus originated there, but China has not allowed anybody to go in and really help and oversee that. We've done a lot of chatting about their connection with the World Health Organization and all that, so maybe we can go down that rabbit trail when we get back. We've got to take a really quick break.
Okay.
You are listening to We the People. We'll be right back with Dr. Sean Lin. You can catch us online at wethepeopleradio.us.
What shall we do about them? When they move into your neighborhood, they take over but good. They want you all body and soul. Then it's just your body.
Today we are the them. We're the coffers. I'm the wheezer, Bill's the coffer.
So there you go.
Yeah, there you have it.
Yeah.
All right. So, Dr. Lin, we have so many people on named Dr. Chen. If we call you, if we accidentally call you Dr. Chen, I'm going to apologize now.
It's okay. No problem.
See, we have a lot of Dr. Chens in our repertoire. Including your friend, Dr. Chen, who's on the next hour. Okay, so if it's pretty clear that the virus came there, you know, from Wuhan, like we thought, which is where the first people, where the first cases popped up. Just out of curiosity, I'm assuming it's just basic, the CCP doesn't want anybody messing with their propaganda. But is there any other reason that they would not want to have people come in and help them? Like RCDC or something like that?
Yes, that's one of the issues, I think, that leads to a very high potential that probably the Chinese government know some secret projects, programs, research project, maybe undergoing in Wuhan. So definitely the Wuhan Institute of Virology had a strong collaboration with Chinese military medicines, and not just in Wuhan alone, but also with other military medical units in China. For example, one unit in Nanjing, that's kind of on the east coast near Shanghai, and they also studied the bad coronavirus and actually identify virus strain, bad coronavirus strains that has strong homologies with SARS-CoV-2. And also the Wuhan Institute of Virology, Dr. Shi Zhengli's group, also has done a lot of research on this bad coronavirus. They collected viruses from Yunnan province on the southwest of China. And so these strains of virus they identified together with the one of, from Nanjing, they showed 96% homologies with the SARS-CoV-2. So I think one of the biggest concerns is that some of the military project maybe were very aggressive trying to do gain-of-function studies. So I always think this is a great potential. That's one of the biggest reasons. Maybe the Chinese government did not want people to go into Wuhan to investigate the origin of the outbreak. Because if they let other scientists involving, they would definitely ask about the animal samples, about the animal reservoirs, and about the patient zero samples, and they probably would investigate the potential lab leak. Then it will lead to the Wuhan Institute of Virology or the lab in the Wuhan CDC, and then it will relate to probably the military operations. And I think they're doing some gain-of-function studies in there because Chinese government is putting biotechnologies and development as a main strategies for the 2025 project. And so they are very aggressive. Yes, they are very aggressive building P3, P4 labs in Wuhan areas.
Well, they're saying now that the cases of coronavirus are going way down, and that the big panic is over in China, and the cases are going way down.
Yeah, can we believe that though?
Yeah, do you have any indication if that's real or not?
I don't believe that at all.
I don't either. I mean, they've lied about all the rest of it. Why would they tell the truth about that?
Yes, to me, because it's a political strategy right now, because the Chinese government feel if they can quickly show to the Chinese people they can contain the outbreak, and then while the virus is spreading globally, now they can change the storyline saying anyone now getting an infection may be due to import cases from, overseas.
Right.
So now we can be blamed for it.
Yeah, definitely. Actually, it's already happening. I saw friends in the WeChat sharing some posts from China, talking about in Shanghai, in Beijing, they identified some travelers, symptoms and tested positive. And so now they started roll out this kind of blame on foreigners now. And at the same time, in Wuhan, other places, they quickly try to push out the patients in batches, saying, you're killed, you're going home now, even though they are probably still carrying the virus. They just try to create a whole false illusion that in China, they already contain the situation. So any new outbreak now, it could be due to imported cases.
Mm.
Yes, yeah,
bad move.
Dangerous. Yeah.
Yeah. So in their brilliance, they cured it, and now we're reinfecting them.
Yeah. Yes. Hmm. But the problem is that in some other places in Wuhan, like people used to be hospitalized in those temporary setup Huanchang hospitals. So many patients were just released, discharged in batches. That's unbelievable. Medically, it's impossible. They just in one day they can discharge hundreds of patients and you are ready to go home now. How could it be possible, right?
Right, but right.
It's magic.
They just do it.
Well, are you hearing, I know I've heard several reports that people are being reinfected after they've gotten through it. They get it a second time. Are you hearing any of that?
Yes, actually, I was reading some of the Chinese report mentioned about people getting reinfected, and people, when they still are carrying the virus, when they're going back home, they infect their family members. And some of the factories, like Wuhan Steel Factory, Wugang, in Chinese name we call it Wugang. So this steel factory, when they resume the production under the government's directives, and there are cluster outbreaks in the factory too. So I think many business will suffer this situation, and the government didn't even reimburse for all the costs for the quarantine, for the medical treatment, if they're under the government directing to back to production and bringing the employees back to the factory. And so they are causing definitely a second wave of this outbreak.
Well, we had somebody, I don't remember who it was, telling us that there were a lot of people trapped in Wuhan who worked there but didn't live there. And
yes, they
basically just had to live on the street. How's that all going?
Yeah, it's very hard to see reports on this one. I only saw some of the social media posts about these people suffering on the street. I see those photos of people living under the bridge, on the street. Because a lot of the people, they probably from the village side, right, came back to a big city like Wuhan to work. But the problem is that many of the local districts, they reject all of these foreigners, they call them foreigners, to come to Wuhan to work. They and the local district don't have the capacity to handle additional quarantine problems. And so how do they handle these new waves of people who want to come back to Wuhan to work? Because Wuhan usually to have millions of these migrant workers, right? So that's why about even 9 million people left Wuhan before the Chinese Lunar New Year, right? Because so many people come to Wuhan to work. So now if you encourage, even just say 2 million people come back to Wuhan to work, and the local district is still under the political pressure, they need to contain the outbreak, and they need to block out this, they call it imported case now. So how do they handle these migrant workers? So many people just simply, many district like leaders just rejecting all of these people to reside into the previous like apartment these people leased.
Right.
So these people become, you know, like homeless immediately. So how can they survive, right? So, and they still need to probably find work too. So it's very tough for them. People working in like in the bigger factory may be relatively better because the factory provides dormitory for them. But the problem is that when they live in the dormitory, they also have higher chance to get
everybody's sick
in the dorm. Yeah.
Sure.
Any of us who've ever lived in dorms in college or anything like that knows one person gets sick, everybody goes down the drain.
So when this first hit epidemic levels in Wuhan, they sealed off the city, from what I understand. Nobody in, nobody mm-hmm. out. Have they lifted that, and are they allowing people to go in and out now? Do you know?
They have not officially lifted sanctioned the lockdown in Wuhan, but they kind of in different degrees, they loosen up the policies. And so allow people to come out to the district from their own neighborhood, from district to come out to buy food. And so, but it didn't like formally announce now we completely lifted the ban. So I think they still know the problem still ongoing in Wuhan, so they cannot officially kind of totally lift the lockdown.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, they want to create an impression to the residents in Wuhan that the situation is much better. The hospitals, the temporary hospitals are already closed. We don't need these additional facilities. So they try to deliver this message without totally lifting the ban.
Well, yeah, I guess if you're going to try to make everybody think that everyone is getting cured already, you better empty out your hospitals or...
People
will know you're lying again. I'm kind of curious when we come back, we've got to take another quick break, but I'm really curious, how exactly do you whip up these temporary hospitals? Do you think they really did that? And I mean, they had a hotel that fell down. I'm thinking, if you slam up a hospital in no time at all, how does that stay up when a regular hotel falls down? So anyway, I have some architectural questions, I guess, when we return.
Okay, yeah, we can talk about that after the break.
Yeah, we're going to come back with our guest, Dr. Sean Lin. You're listening to We the People. Please join us online, wethepeopleradio.us. Dr. Lin. So how do these guys make a hotel fall down, but they can build hospitals in, like, record time?
So I think actually the whole strategy for locking down the cities in such a draconian ways, in such a short notice, I think that measure actually need to be questioned, even though the Chinese government keep bragging that they, taking these dramatic measures to intervene in the virus transmission. But I think we need more scientific review on these measures as well. And regarding those temporary hospitals, of course, with the Chinese People's Liberation Army got involved, and you got the emergency fundings, and so they can quickly build up this kind of temporary hospital. But I actually questioned from the beginning when they announced they want to build this hospital, because in Wuhan, you know, there are even two-star, three-star hotels and also student dorms as well as some large sports stadiums. Why don't you do transformation of these facilities, you know, into a temporary hospital?
Yeah.
And so, right, so you some of these, you know, like low-scale hospital, they don't have the central ventilation system, so even just, you know, small, window air conditioner, things like that. So you easily to put two persons in one room without causing too much cross infections.
Yeah,
but now you're building these large 1,000 people Fanchang hospitals and putting 1,000 people in there, and all these the one aspect, you're wasting the time to building this hospital, and the second time the ventilation system, the isolation procedures, the medical supply, all these is still a big problem in these temporary hospitals. So you're probably creating a big opportunity for cross infection as well, and also the hygiene conditions. I saw reports mention like some of the hospitals only have one or two restroom facilities for 1,000 people, right? So you're creating more problems because the virus can also be transmitted through the fecal oral routes.
Yeah, they're actually making a worse problem with these.
They're going to make
hospitals.
Sure everybody in there is sick.
Yeah.
Really sick.
You're guaranteed to have it when you go there.
So if they whip up some temporary hospital that fits 1,000 people, I don't understand that. Like, is there just tons of room there? They can just say, okay, we're putting it right here, and you have all these building materials. And, I mean, it takes people to build these. To build a building, I mean, how does that happen? Is that possible?
So this part of the Chinese government can definitely mobilize a lot of engineers and workers, like engaging some big construction company to do this. But you know, if the Chinese government treat it like a model engineering project, try to show the world they can do these things, you know, in a dramatic way, try to impress people. Of course, they can do it, but nobody knows whether this hospital is you know, expected, is qualified to be a really good facility for handling this kind of infectious disease. They just said we quickly build this hospital in 10 days, but
sure.
I didn't see any report saying they meet all the medical standards for handling the infection.
I'm thinking like three drops of rain and a stiff breeze, and the thing blows over like a house of cards. I
always say, yes, I always say it would be much faster if you just change the ventilation system in a two-star, three-star hotel.
Yeah, no kidding.
Make a temporary hospital. You can quickly get, you know, several thousands of beds available. Why you temporarily build a hospital from the ground?
Yeah, that just totally makes no sense.
Chinese government really should like to show off their capability.
Well, it's different to have
it's just part of the propaganda. That's always the answer.
Yeah, you can have a facility that'll have a bed for a lot of people, but to have a facility capable of handling an infectious disease, that's a totally different ballgame. And I think
totally different. Yeah,
when you look at it, you go, "Wow, that's a nice hospital," but the working part of it isn't set up for an infectious disease.
Well, besides that, when you're done with it, I guess you wait for the three drops of rain and the stiff breeze, and it just it's not a hospital anymore. That whole idea is just bizarre to me. So the people that are being, how about this? If you live in Wuhan and you are quarantined there, do you get to go to the hospital or do you have to go home? Like, as opposed to the people who are living on the street. Do the people on the street who got stuck there in the quarantine, who live outside the city, do they get to go to the hospitals?
Well,
I was just kind
we
of
don't know.
Curious what the rules are. If you know.
I don't know how do these people handle themselves, because right now, survival pressures, right? And then if they go back to hometown, how do they maintain their living? The Chinese government haven't done this kind of emergency plan to help these people who are living on, you know, month to month wages. And if they could have got discharged from this kind of temporary hospital, many of these temporary workers probably have to go home. And by their release from this hospital, they probably still are a virus carrier. So maybe their local hometown also be scared. Because many local people know the, you know, Chinese government is lying on this situation.
Yeah, so many of the villages,
many of the villages still locked down. Many of the villages surrounding Wuhan, they are still locked down. They haven't lifted the ban. So even these people get discharged from this kind of temporary hospital, it would be very hard for them to go back home, too. But in the Chinese media right now, because it's so much censorship right now, the official media cannot report this kind of dark side, and the social media, if you talk about it, quickly got erased. So it's very hard to get this information, talk about people suffering. Yeah. I don't know the true situation.
Yeah, we don't know if people are getting sick. Are they getting tested? Are they just waiting until it gets so bad they have to be hospitalized, or if they can just fight it off and survive it?
A lot of people have to just fight it off at home because when it was the peak in February, many people cannot access to the hospital. The hospital is overloaded, so many people just have to stay at home, try to fight it off at home. And at the same time, I think recently in March, when the government's propaganda tune changed, and when they tried to say they already closed this temporary hospital, the number of new infections dropped to single digits. But the government tunes like this, so many of the temporary testing sites also stopped running the tests as well. And
we're seeing that
same,
what you don't know won't hurt you.
Yeah, we're seeing that same effect here. I mean, now that they're actually making these tests much more available to people, we're seeing the numbers skyrocket, which doesn't necessarily mean more and more people are being infected. It's just that more and more people are being tested and found positive.
Who may or may not be sick.
Yeah, exactly. So I think the whole testing thing is skewing the numbers a little bit as well.
Yeah, so definitely for Chinese government, they are so aggressive and ambitious on their propaganda, trying to say they are kind of winning the war against epidemic. So they are not just bragging about how many people got cured. They also try to brag in they have very new low number for new infections. I think if this second goal is really from the medical aspect, I think it's kind of ridiculous. You have such a large number of people got infected, the newly infection number all suddenly just like a skydive, you know,
right.
Sure.
On a far cliff. There's no way it doesn't fit into any transmission models. But that's just Chinese government's propaganda model.
Yeah, that just doesn't work that way.
So I keep hearing in our media, because I'm always, you know, I'm always listening with sort of a, you know, I hear all of you in the back of my head whenever something from China comes up, and I'm thinking, our government's saying, oh, look, you know, people are getting, I heard it this morning, it looks like people in China are, you know, the cases have really, really dropped, so, you know, we think we only need to, you know, quarantine people for 14 days because that's all the longer it takes. It sounds a little bit like our government is using the Chinese information as fact. Do you think they are?
It is bizarre. Even today I saw New York Times talk about, you know, the Chinese government is buying time for the world. They kind of repeat the Chinese government's tone as well. I was really kind of stunned that even such a direct copy of Chinese government's propaganda.
Oh, okay. All right, so it isn't just me. Yeah, because I heard that and I thought, what the heck? I mean, don't they realize? Look at Sue and Bill. They're waxing up on their Purell. The more we talk, the more hand sanitizer they're using.
I'm feeling dirty.
Yeah, I think overall the Western society really need to be alert to that. They don't trust the data from the Chinese government. I mean, one example is in Taiwan. The Taiwanese government was so clear that they don't trust about the Chinese government's data, and also they don't trust WHO data interpretation as well. So when the Chinese government informed that they had probably new coronavirus on December 31st last year, almost immediately the Taiwanese government started to check passengers coming from mainland China. They sent medical staff to get on the plane, you know, do body temperature inspections before anybody can be off the plane.
Sure.
So they react quickly because they don't trust the Chinese government.
Right.
Well, that's actually a good
previous
sign.
From previous lessons. You know,
yeah, there's no outside verification on a lot of their claims. Yeah, until there is, I think we have to take.
Well,
it
and I think when you have an infectious disease, you know, assuming that the people who've been lying to us turned over a new leaf is probably that all is bad timing.
Yeah,
I mean,
probably not.
Just flat bad timing.
Yeah.
All right, so we've got to take another quick break. Sorry, our usual jovial selves are just screwed up today. We're screwed up. We're in here with too much hand sanitizer and we're stuffy, for heaven's sakes, talking about virus. And we watched that idiot series last night called, what is it, Contagiousness or something?
Contained or...
idiot thing on Netflix. Before we go to break. All right, so we're watching this stupid thing on this virus on Netflix, which is some big long series that seems like it's going on forever. And I'm going to go out in the garage to the refrigerator in the garage and go get something, and the doorknob won't work. I could not get out of my house. I'm like, Bill, is it me or is it the doorknob? Come over here.
I could see panic in her eyes.
It was like,
she was locked in.
I wasn't really, but it was really kind of weird. It's like, okay, we're locked in our own house. So we had to go get in.
It's the government.
We had to go get in from the garage. It just was weird. It seems like the whole world is weird, and our town's out of toilet paper, and people have all gone crazy. There you go. You have an update from California now. That's what's happening here.
That's yourself lockdown.
Yeah. We're just hoping to survive the great toilet paper shortage of 2020. Oh, my gosh. We'll be right back with our guest, Dr. Sean Lin. We'll be all serious, too, when we come back.
That's right.
Yeah.
Straighten
get
up.
Back on serious.
Yes.
You can find us online at wethepeopleradio.us. It is sort of fitting.
It is.
The song is called Living in the Past. In the past when we didn't have runs on toilet paper.
Yeah.
And people hung out together.
Yeah,
And you could cough in public without being assaulted.
I went to the grocery store yesterday and I was kind of laughing a little bit that I'd say 3/4 of the carts that went by, people had like their limit of 4 rolls in the cart.
Oh, they were limiting to 4 rolls?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Limit 4 per cart.
Okay, so the great toilet paper shortage is real.
And it was all gone by the time I got out of there. Big, huge, empty row of paper products.
What's it doing where you are? Are you in Maryland?
I'm in Maryland, yeah.
So
similar situations, yeah. People do stock up those toilet papers, too.
See, we're never having a toilet paper shortage. Yeah. It's just funny to me that people would wait for something like that. I mean... I told Bill, I said, see, aren't you glad you have me? You're never going to have a toilet paper shortage. See, I'm the person who bought her funeral plan when I was 22.
Yeah, she's on her. she's on hurricane watch 12 months out of the year.
My dad was in the insurance industry.
Yeah, we have a saying in our house.
We prepare.
It could be the end of the world tomorrow. Make sure you stock up.
Every time Bill puts 2 cans in the cart at the grocery store, I put 2 more, you know, and he's like, end of the world tomorrow. Yeah.
End of the world.
Just in case.
Just in case.
It sort of makes sense, you know. It's such a large pandemic. People are panicked. So even though, I mean, all the mainstream media and all the, you know, experts try to calm people down, but people naturally will be panicked, you know, because after all, this SARS-CoV-2 is very serious, very different from the SARS-CoV-2. And even for its transmission, I see a report saying that the SARS-CoV-2 can even survive 3 hours in aerosol and then 24 hours in cardboard and 2 to 3 days on plastic and stainless steel surface. So, you know, the virus has high transmissibility, too, compared to SARS, too. And so that's why it's hard to contain it, even more, make it more unrealistic for China to contain it in such a short period of time.
Right.
I also saw a report, a medical report on Lancet, and that was actually done by Chinese medical doctors from two hospitals in Wuhan. And so they surveyed about 191 patients, and among them, actually 54 died. So you can see the death rate is almost 28%. That's a very high death rate in hospital deaths. And 48% people have comorbidity. And so it was really tough for hospital to treat it too. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's it's kind of makes sense that people are panicked about this situation. But
don't you think that if they publish the numbers of people, like let's say every single year when you have tens of thousands of people who die from the flu, whatever the flu is that year, if they published those numbers and covered it like this is being covered, don't you think people, well, okay, after a while people would stop listening, but don't you think people would have panicked before? I mean, there are a lot more people who die from the regular flu than this.
Yeah, for flu, yeah. In China, actually, every year, almost 88,000 people die of flu. That's on previous, kind of official data, if you analyze it, it's about 88,000 people.
Just on any given year because they got the flu?
Yeah, because it's, you know, large population and, you know, tens of millions of people got infected. And U.S. is about 18,000 people each year. So it depends on year, may vary a little bit. But overall, because, you know, the flu, it's just so endemic in the population. People get used to it. People are not so scared about it.
Right.
And of course, the symptom is not so scary like SARS-2. For this SARS-CoV-2, it has high chance for senior people to develop multi-organ failure. So
for them to develop
SARS-2.
For them to develop a what?
Multi-organ failure.
Oh, multi-organ failure. Sorry about that. I had to re-listen to that. Develop a what?
Yeah,
it sounded scarier when you said it.
Yeah, so it's not just breathing difficulty. Many patients' symptoms develop very fast.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And so that's why, clinical-wise, it's also scary. So it's high pathogenicity plus high transmissibility. That's why it's combined forces. Because usually in the past, like Ebola, very, very high pathogenicity. But the transmissibility usually low. But this SARS-CoV-2 kind of find a middle way in between. So it has high transmissibility, but also have relatively strong pathogenesis. So it's hard to handle, yeah.
Okay. So do you think having everybody, I mean, just, you know, from what you know about science and medicine and that sort of thing, does what we're doing make sense to cancel, you know, ball games and to keep people home for a couple of weeks? Do you think that actually has the potential to do something positive for this?
I think actually it's a very important measure to slow down the virus spread too.
Okay.
And because the social distancing definitely reduce the chance for people contacting each other and then reduce the virus to be spreading among the community. And so there are different studies with different disease intervention models. So actually, if you doing this kind of social distancing, it's quite effective, even more effective than a hard quarantine down, isolation, lockdown city. It could be even more important.
Yeah.
And so.
I think it's easy for people to say, oh, geez, that's, we don't really have any around here. We live in a rural area that I don't think we've had any reported cases in our area. But, you know, it will. We will get them here.
Well, people are kind of going one way or the other. You know, on the one hand, you have the people, like, I was outside. I was like 10 feet away from this guy, and I coughed. And I've had asthma for 58 years. So I get this periodically. You know, my lungs fill up with fluid. I wheeze. You know, I sound bad. And so I kind of coughed. You know, it wasn't like I had my mouth hanging open. I coughed on like a horse or something. Although it would have been fun, but I didn't. And, you know, so I kind of cleared my throat and coughed. And he just started screaming and yelling, get away, get away. And I thought, okay. You know, I mean, really? So people are kind of going that direction. Or then you have the other direction that says, are you kidding me? This is ridiculous. I'm going to, you know, just go do all my regular stuff. I'm not going to change anything because these guys are probably hyping it like they did the last snowstorm that never came. So,
well, right now, I think the storm is already here. Just people definitely need to be more cautious than usual.
So staying home makes sense.
Yes, okay. Stay home will help a lot. And also, you know, don't rush to all potential locations for getting tests right now. I think
The test isn't going to do a whole lot for you.
Yeah, I think the test of course it still takes time to make it available for everyone needed. But at the same time, I also, you know, want to point out that actually even this year, the common coronavirus also is another beta coronavirus, and so it's also circulating in the community as well. So plus the flu, there are many respiratory diseases, you know, they're at high peak at this season.
Right.
So many people have respiratory symptoms, may not be, you know.
Yeah. I have this
COVID-2.
I have the same thing all the time. So, I mean, if it was different than every other time I've had it for 58 years, I guess I would be alarmed. But I'm mostly not at this point. So, hey, we need to have you back so we can talk about Tiananmen Square and all that fun stuff.
Sure, love to. Yeah.
I knew we'd get gypped out of all of that, and that was really kind of what I wanted to know. But thank you so much, Dr. Sean Lynn. And
thank you
for being our guest. We got all this information there at wethepeopleradio.us. We'll be right back with our friend Dr. Chen. Bye. Good afternoon. You are joining We the People Radio. Sound a little less like Marge Simpson, don't I?
Yeah, you do.
I got all my science movie voice.
Oh.
My name is Aaron Ryan.
And I'm Bill Kundiff. And I'm sounding more like Marge Simpson.
Yeah, you are, actually. We're switching teams.
Yeah, we are. Hey, our sponsor this hour is Pape Machinery, our local John Deere Ag and Turf dealer. If you need a mower, you need a tractor, you need attachments, you need service for your tractor or mower, go by and see them. They're at 3119 Twin View Boulevard in Shasta Lake City. Also, they are the local Honda generator dealer. You can go by and get yourself a new Honda generator.
Soon to become pivotal as the heat hits.
That's right. And also, they're the new steel product dealer as well. So if you need a line trimmer or a pack-back blower or chainsaw, go by and see them. They got a great selection over there. And you can get them on the phone at 226-9226 or reach them on the web at papemachinery.com.
Ta-da!
There you are.
And I was thinking this would be a good time for people to go get their tractor serviced since, you know, the world is hiding inside.
That's right. You can get in and get out.
Coronavirus. This would be a great time to take your machinery to the shop.
Yep. Yep.
Just drop it off, put your mask on, and
it's really
and
funny,
run away.
Because you know, we have realized a slowdown in business since this, and I think a lot of people have. People just aren't out doing things, fear of getting the virus. So,
It's raining. If you're in Northern California, it's raining. Today is March 15th, 2020, actually. So if we, for whatever reason, air this again. But, you know, when the sun comes back out, which we live in Redding, obviously, it will come back out with a vengeance. But back in the flu in 1918, what they did was they took all the patients outside.
They found that the people
who were outside did better than people inside. So, again, if you want to kill the virus, fix your mower and go mow your grass.
That's right.
How's that for an ad?
Yeah. Stock up on vitamin D.
Be the marketing
D.
director.
Yeah. Yeah. There you go. Get out and get some sun.
Get out and get some sun. Yeah. Wheezing in the house is stupid.
Yeah.
So our guest this hour is Dr. Shizong Chin, but he's on the phone with somebody else. We're the chopped liver
Hello.
Today. Oh, he's still on there.
Oh.
Okay. Well, he told me that I was supposed to kill time. So here was my time killer. Glad you're here for it, Dr. Chin. So a group of policemen down in Sacramento, they canceled their meeting. The name of their group is called the Foothill Fuzz. And so the Foothill Fuzz luncheon announcement came out the other day. It's with utmost reluctance that we feel the need to cancel the Spring Foothill Fuzz luncheon until the toilet paper shortage is over. Our immediate minimum number for the private room at Red Hawk is 60 patrons, and with less than a week to the event, we have fewer than 40 signed up. We'll try again after the present ongoing hysteria settles. On related note, the state of California has announced that testing for the Wuhan virus will be conducted remotely in the privacy of your own homes to prevent exposure. Simply place a stool sample in a heavy envelope and mail to Governor Gavin Newsom, the State House, Sacramento, California. I was like, you know,
ouch!
You gotta really like retired policemen; they're really fun.
They have a sense of humor.
And then they had a little note at the bottom. They said, "I've got to think if somebody told the Clintons that the coronavirus was going to snitch them out, it would be dead inside of a week."
Yeah.
So that's another option. And there goes the humor of the program. Except for the one little meme I got. Somebody sent me this. With so many people staying home in March, I'm predicting December 2020 will be the largest baby boom since the end of World War II.
Yep. There you go. They're going to be called Corona boomers.
The next generation, since we run out of letters, what do we have? X, Y, and Z. It's like, where do we go from here? Ta-da!
And
an answer is born, literally.
There you go.
Dr. Chin, maybe you can peel us off the ceiling. We're obviously we're obviously having our own little respiratory illness here, so the coughing is it isn't like one of those sitcoms, you know, where they have canned laughing. Like, we don't have canned coughing for the coronavirus show. We brought the real thing. But you're on the phone, so you'll be all right. So we've done a bunch of shows with you for people, you know, who are maybe just tuning in or haven't heard our ridiculousness before. You can find everything at wethepeopleradio.us. We have a tab on China, and in all seriousness, there's some deadly serious stuff on the China tab. If you are unaware that they are involuntarily harvesting organs from Chinese citizens who have not been convicted of crimes or any other reason other than they've got the right blood type, you might want to go and do a little research there. It would make sense of a lot of what you're hearing in the news, too. When you hear that, you know, China's cured the virus and all that kind of stuff, I think you will be a little bit more informed. So, anyway, what do you have for us today on the latest in coronavirus land?
Well, I hope our listeners are aware that a spokesperson for the Chinese Foreign Ministry has formally accused U.S. Army, now not just the United States, to be specific, the U.S. Army has carried in this case should be called the Washington virus or America virus or wherever, you know, that army came from, maybe called West Point.
The West Point virus.
To Wuhan instead in China. Now, this is serious. I'm not joking. Right? When it has taken to that level, a spokesperson for the Chinese government's foreign ministry took it to his tweet, who formally accused U.S. Army, and very specific, right, and
spread that virus to Wuhan, and that is very serious. So I think we should know about that. We should, you know, and we should learn from this how abnormal this regime is. This is not your garden variety regime, not even your Hitler regime, not your Stalin regime.
Isn't even your Bernie Sanders communism.
Right. This is some regime that the world should think very seriously. And then the second information I want to bring to our listener, our audience, is that just, I think it was either 2 days ago, um, 93% of the coronavirus cases, you know, I would say much higher than that, because they calculate that using China's number. But anyway, even use current available number, right? 93% of the coronavirus cases focus on four countries, with the fifth and sixth countries coming up as the same trait. But the four countries are China, Italy, South Korea, Iran. Again, if Iran's number is believable. Right? Now, sorry, there's a dog outside.
Who let the dogs out?
Yeah. The four countries account for 93% of the cases. Now, what, besides China, what are common of those three countries? They're all very close to China.
They're all palsy-walsy with China.
Right.
Okay, hold that thought, because, you know, I'm not sure that most people realize. I want to explore the Italy connection, because I think maybe you had sent me something about that. And I thought that was really interesting. So we'll come right back. Our guest is Dr. Shizhong Chen. You're listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us. Dr. Chen.
Hi.
Tell us why Italy. Because I don't think people realize what's going on
the
in Italy.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So, Italy has signed up with China's Belt and Road Initiative.
What is a belt? It's belt like a belt you wear around your waist, and Belt and Road is called the initiative?
So, the belt in Chinese has two meanings. A belt is one meaning, but there's another meaning, is lead or guidance.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's a double meaning. So, I'm sure our audience are familiar with the Silk Road.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And the CCP is trying to copy that and trying to expand its international influence. And at the same time, it's really meant to export its surplus of production. So that's worth another talk show. So why has the surplus of production?
Yeah.
Its production is not meant for its own people. It's meant for something else. So that's worth another talk show.
Interesting.
That the world are led into this blind. I kept saying this, early on from our program, we never really got a chance to dive really deep into that. But early on, I said, we just don't know. We don't know that the mainstream media has hidden this away from Americans for a long, long time. In fact, not just the United States, but worldwide. Right? So the Belt and Road is a investment and takeover initiative from the CCP. On the surface, it's the CCP wants the world to believe it's like similar to Marshall Plan, where they would help those countries that sign up with this initiative. China would provide them with loans, with funding to build their infrastructure. And yet it has been a trap. Now, before this virus, now the virus make it much worse. Right? But even before this virus, it's a trap. It's investment and own. So it is supposed to provide this country who cannot. It's somewhat similar. Well, it's not similar. I'm just making an analogy, right? Like the subprime loan.
Okay. And we all know the subprime loan thing is what, exploded the financial market here in the U.S.
Right. This is the one is also exploding. So China provide loans to countries who they know cannot afford them. Still provide them. The contract has it this way that if they cannot pay the loan, that China will grab their valuable piece of real estate.
Uh-huh.
Their port, their maybe their minerals, maybe their natural resources, maybe their oil field. Okay? So anyway, also, this loan are signed with problematic regimes. They are corruption-inducing loans. That the loans would have a lot of under-table deal for whoever signs them. They'll benefit them. And so this initiative is loaded to begin with. It's never meant good. And so people may go on to the website and check out and vote initiative and see how it has been doing. No good for China, not for the world, not for other countries. Right? There are countries who are deep in debt and have to, just like, this original design, to hand over their hoard their resources. Now, that, we should talk about Belt and Road in another separate program, but I just want to put that into perspective, the coronavirus. The coronavirus start to show its spread map, and it coincides with Belt and Road.
Who would have thought? You signed a trade deal with China, and you get a free virus.
China declared, okay, the CCP declared that we do not export revolution, we do not export, colonization, we do not export this and that. But it forgot to mention we export coronavirus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, a little propaganda and some coronavirus. What could go wrong?
Yeah. Well,
and I just and wanted to let people know that I'm posting an editorial, and you know, where was it? Oh, this was in the Epoch Times. The editorial is where ties with China, where communist China are close, the coronavirus follows. And so that's on the page for today, March 15th, 2020, down at the bottom. I posted the whole article there, and I think you had sent me an excerpt from that and some other notes, but I thought that was pretty interesting. So for people who are trying to wrap their mind around this, that might be a good place to start.
Right, 2 weeks ago in our first program talk about beyond coronavirus.
Yeah.
There I said the best way to stay away from coronavirus is distance yourself from communism. Because this is a communist virus. And it's showing more and more. Number five, number six on the list are France and Germany, right? And those are countries with also close ties with the CCP. France, in particular, helped the CCP build the P4 lab. If people do not know about what P4 is, P4 is really about safety level 4. It's the highest level of biosafety lab. Now, biosafety lab is important for biological research, because sometimes people are dealing with dangerous pathogens. But when you're dealing with the dangerous pathogen, you can make it good or you can make it bad. In this case, there's enough suspicion, there's enough articles to question the CCP scientists have been using it to do bad things, to try to create something harmful. And this coronavirus may be a result of their leaking. Now, leaking the dangerous pathogen. Now, the P4 itself, or biosafety level 4 lab itself, has some potential scandal in them as well. But anyway, that may be another topic. But France is the country that helped China to build that lab. Now Germany. Since the trade war with the United States, Germany and South Korea are two countries that have been hit the most by the trade war. Between United States and China. So, it's interesting. Why a trade war between the United States and China would hurt Germany and South Korea?
Yeah.
Because they are so closely related with China. So, their economy is so tightly connected with China's economy. So when the trade war hits China's economy, the ripple effect even hit them hard. So I'm trying to make a case that they are very closely connected with China's economy.
And now, and so just the mechanics of it. So do you think the virus winds up there in more prevalence because they have people traveling back and forth to China from China, that whole thing?
Or products traveling
or
back and forth.
Or is it stuff? Or, I mean...
Yes. There are two explanations. That's the explanation at our secular level. It's politically incorrect nowadays to talk about higher level, now non-secular level, because people would say would have this resentment they don't tend to believe, you know, stories in Bible anymore.
So we're just talking about evil? Are we talking about evil here?
We're talking about evil, and we're talking about specter. We're talking about, you know, a demon, higher levels, you know, lives in other dimensions, right?
Yeah.
So when you're talking about disease, what kind of disease is fourth-born plague in the Bible? Like people say, that's not true. What if it is true? What kind of disease is that? So there are diseases in China's history.
Interesting consideration.
In China's long history, there have been numerous records of disease targeting particular kind of area, particular kind of people. Particularly when a dynasty is so corrupt, when it's about to end, it's quite common that there are disease attacking the dying dynasty, but not attacking the coming dynasty. Say, for example, the Ming dynasty. Towards the end of the Ming dynasty, that's about 400 years ago, 500 years ago. Right. Not too far. Sorry. The beginning of the Qing dynasty. So it's about 300 years ago. So when the Ming dynasty is about to end, there is a plague that only affects the army in the dying Ming dynasty, but it didn't affect the soldiers of the coming Qing dynasty and the other rebel army. Think about it. So nowadays we think, you know, that disease is just disease. Well, a lot of diseases are just disease. But there may be some disease. There may be some diseases who are not just regular disease. And that's what I'm talking about. And
interesting.
You know, people may not believe in it, but we'll see. We'll see whether we'll believe it, with more coming. But it is clear that right now, at least the pattern is there. It's up to them how to interpret them. But the pattern is those who are close, those countries who are closely related with China are more inclined to get the disease.
And it's interesting because I don't think people, especially in the United States, really realize how much, which countries are doing a lot of trade with China. I think folks around the world would, would maybe have better information, especially if you live in those countries. But that editorial is really interesting, and it would be worth people going to read just to kind of wrap your mind around that. We have to get into these wider topics about China because there are really two schools of thought right now, you know, that the Chinese are our friends, and it's just like democracy, only slightly different, and there's nothing scary there, nothing bad. And then the other school of thought is, hey, you know what, they're communists who spy on us all the time and spew propaganda and now have unleashed a deadly virus on the world, and I think that's not going well for them. The propaganda can't contain it. So, really quick break. We'll come back with our guest, Dr. Chen. You are listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us. We'll be right back. All right, so Dr. Chen, now that we've established that being a trading partner with China and embracing communism will give you a bad virus, I guess, not to put too fine a point on it.
Well, yeah.
What else would you like to add? Because I frankly think that's really, I think that's really interesting.
Well, we have spoken this before, even before the virus. It was, our program, went way back, right? Remember? So there was one program we talked about, about the conflict of human world. There are only two kinds of conflict. The first kind is the kind that even animals know how to do. The kind of that based on interest-based conflict, fighting for territory, fighting for food, fighting for, mating spouse, right? Fighting for reproduction, those kind of conflicts. And then there's another kind that only human knows how to do. And that's the ideological-based conflict. The kind that deals with either right or wrong, or truth or false. That kind of a conflict, animals do not know how to do. They do not do that kind of thing, right? And it is the later kind. The first kind is more prevalent. Does animal even know how to do it? The human, of course, know how to do it. It happens all the time, daily, hourly, minute, every minute, right? But it is the latter kind that poses greatest danger for human beings, that calamities are all called for the second kind, to prove that animal has never caused calamity to themselves, but human has. And the greatest ideological conflict that human is capable of or can get themselves into is the kind that we are now engaged in, wittingly or unwittingly. That is the conflict between those who believe in divine, the theist, and those who are anti-theist, who, in the history, there has always believers and non-believers. But what I'm talking about here, the anti-theists are not the non-believers. They're the anti-believers. The CCP, the kind that prohibits others from believing in the divine. Right? And why this is the greatest conflict? In any conflict, any other kind of conflict, there would be a victor, and the victor would survive. Okay? But the reason this one is the greatest is that in this case, if the CCP happened to be a victor, no one would survive, because humans are made by God. Yeah, some people do not believe in that. Okay, but I am speaking from the believer's point of view.
Right.
Why is a big deal?
And in China, that gets your organs harvested, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so the CCP is the leading force, the main force of the anti-theist force. Right. And that's the headquarter, that's where it came from. And yet, a lot of people from different parts of the world unwittingly assist that regime. Many of the people who support the CCP, they themselves are believers. But somehow they overlooked that fact, and they unwittingly assisted that regime. And if we believe that this is a conflict, and then we can understand why being closely associated with that regime will have major consequences. Because, believe or not, it doesn't matter if you believe or not, this world is created, human beings are created by God, and they run the world. They, if you choose to associate yourself with a force that's anti-theist, it would not be on the divine side. Things would turn out bad for you. And we have talked about this even before the coronavirus, months before.
Well, it's part of everything. I mean, the anti-theist standpoint of the Chinese government is what allows them to harvest people's organs, to do all of these things. You can't do that if you believe in God, and if you believe people were created by God, and you think, I mean, there are all sorts of things that you can't do if that's your
You wouldn't do.
Yeah, maybe that's it. Yeah, your conscience wouldn't allow it. Conscience would dictate your practice. And I forget who we had on. Maybe it was you. Somebody was telling us that they had put, I think it was Dr. Wen Chen, I believe, who had said that they had injected monkeys with human DNA. And
I did. Maybe she also did.
Yeah, maybe, yeah. You guys both did. Like Dr. Chen's, what the heck? But I remember at the time thinking, oh yeah, you wouldn't do that. You wouldn't do things like that if you valued human life. You wouldn't do that.
Right. And it's behind everything that makes the CCP make China what it is today and make this coronavirus that can happen. This is the national president's national security advisor, Mr. O'Brien, the other day said China has wasted the world 2 months valuable time in fighting this coronavirus. It's bound to happen. This is in that system, this is bound to happen. Everything that happened in China happened for a reason. And that is a regime who refuse to be held for any accountability. People who believe in God will have some bottom line. They'll be responsible for certain things. They'll be accountable for certain things.
Sure.
But the CCP refused any accountability. And their way of refusing that is through lies. And if lies doesn't work, then violence. If you want to, you know, hold me accountable, I'll kill you.
Yeah, sure. Because you don't mean anything. Your life has no value. We have to take a really quick break. We will come back with our guest, Dr. Chen. And you know, I'm curious your thoughts on what we're seeing here in the U.S. as we take God out of school, and you know, the ACLU kind of runs everything. We're not allowed to say stuff, do stuff.
It's important to talk about that.
Yeah, I think we should, because you have a very interesting perspective on it. Meanwhile, we'll be using a lot of hand sanitizer here. Apparently, it's time for the next round of hand sanitizer. I guess every break we have to do that. It's really kind of odd. My little germ friends here. So we'll talk to you in 2 minutes. You're listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us. We'll be right back.
someone to tell you everything. Sit around and wonder what tomorrow will bring. Maybe a diamond ring.
Well, it's all right, even if they say you're wrong. Well, it's all right. Sometimes you gotta be strong. Well,
it's... Thought we should have a happy song. Just for the heck of it. It's just to confuse everyone. So, Dr. Chen, looking at what goes on and what has been going on, the trending in the U.S. to supposedly for the benefit of the youth to take God out of everything, I'm guessing you have some fairly strong opinions about that.
It's the worst thing that our country's leader can do to this country. I want to take some snapshots of, you know, history, you know, some pictures.
Sure.
And talk about. So, the U.S. Americans, we used to talk terms that people would understand. For example, when President Lincoln talked about the Civil War in his second inauguration address, he declared that, but the Almighty has his own purpose. And he said, you know, what you have owed others through wrong deeds will be paid back. We used to know that. And then it was the Black Death in Europe that brought people's spirituality or their attention to their spirituality back to their life. Okay. So we used to know that. Now, through what you have described, taking religious out of this, out of young people's life, those become something of a makeup story. Right? And in this program, we have talked about NDA's kowtowing to China. Not long ago, a few months ago, we have a program dedicated to that. And then, just earlier, in your program, in the news part, and there was a news that the NBA, NFL, NHL, the players got together to pitch in their donation, so the non player, the stadium workers, they can be compensated from their donations. All these are very, I have to say that these are, there's a clear difference between America and China. This thing cannot happen. Right now, it won't happen in China. And then one more thing I want to say, or two more things. One thing I want to say that, when we'll talk about this scale, we have to look at this, you know, coronavirus, we have to look at from a bigger scale, right? So, yet when this very kind-hearted people who would donate their money to help the non-player, workers, when it comes to dealing with China, they somehow sided with the regime that's anti-theist. So, looking from a bigger picture, from a higher perception, how do beings and hybrid balance those two, right? It becomes a question. So, maybe it's not fair to some individuals here, but some NBA players are infected with this virus. Is there a reason or not? We don't know. But last year, in this program, we talked about how NBA has kowtowing to China.
Yeah.
We discussed that.
Yeah, NBA was all, yeah, it was, yeah, they were their lackeys.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's when they were on their little tour over there.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then the last thing I want to say is I think this country, I think President Trump has done a thing that this country really needs is the national prayer today.
Yeah.
And so this helps to bring things to a different level, to a non-secular level. I think that's important. It may still take a while because what you have mentioned, this taking religion out of people's lives, has gone on for how many years, right?
Yeah, it's been kind of a slow creep, but then when people, you know, when they start wanting to take down, you know, any kind of statues, they want to take things out of, they want to take pictures of George Washington out of a school.
Well,
I mean, there's like all
God
this.
We trust. Any kind of a religious saying on a courthouse. I mean, they're taking it out of everything. And I think we're now, after years of this, I think we're starting to see the effects of that.
And I think people have started to fight back on that as well.
Oh, yeah,
I mean,
that's because now they see what the result is.
You know what a good example is? You know, remember for a while there, it was considered, whatever, bad form to say Merry Christmas. And there were a whole lot of us who said, yeah, we're still going to do that anyway. And I've noticed over the last couple of years, Merry Christmas has made a real resurgence.
Yeah, it has.
That whole happy holiday thing just didn't, they tried to force us into it, but it didn't work.
So remember, all this whole China discussion really started, you know, from you interviewing June. But also, very importantly, we had a discussion of China or the CCP's, you know, encroaching of our value. We did two programs two programs on Chinafornia, remember?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, back in July of last year. Can Chinafornia ever be California again?
Right. And that is what we're talking about here. That the United States, over the years, has unwittingly helped the CCP to get stronger, to the point that it can threaten this country. And luckily, the United States or Americans elected President Trump and stopped that trend. Yet still, the wrongs it has done, this country has done, in assisting that regime in its exploitation of its own people, those debt still has to be repaid. In what way, I don't know, but that's why I want to mention President Lincoln's address, that all those debts have to be repaid.
Yeah.
And maybe we're in for one.
Well, I think people thought if we were just nice to the Chinese and we worked with them and started a good partnership, that they would become more like us. And I guess I would submit it's kind of gone the other way.
Yeah, they loved it.
Instead, we're ignoring really big things that should be alarm bells.
In fact, that itself, what you just described itself, is a deception.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I believe those policymakers who made up this explanation to ease Americans, Americans are good people. I'm one of them. I truly believe they're good people. Yet some are our leaders, some are you know, right now they're our leaders.
Yeah.
They have ulterior motives. And so as to, so we do not object to what they're doing, what they have done. They make up some theory.
And with that, I'm sorry, we'll have to do dot, dot, dot and do this on another week. Our guest has been Dr. Shizong Chen. You've been listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.